Revelation, and you know, when what we were looking at was a context of the beloved. We started with that scripture from Jude verse 17. Where let's go to Jude 17 for a second. Jude verse 17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 18 and 19, "how that they told you there should be mockers in this last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." So, as we see, that'll be the context of what we'll be talking on from Jude, those three verses, and I've been talking on the context of them being the beloved, because the Word of God shows you roadmaps to the, you know, to that, with that association. You know, there are the beloved of the Lord in, that relate to the body of Christ, just as there is beloved that relates to Israel's purpose and plan. And, you know, there are saints of the body of Christ, and there are saints of the kingdom purpose and plan. Paul mentions things about servitude in relation to the body of Christ, and of course we know the clear representation of servants to the kingdom being for Israel. And you know, there, you know, those things, you know, there's a context for those terms which are by some considered general. There is a dispensational context. So we've been looking at it from Hebrews through Revelation, looking at the things related to just the context of them being the beloved. And so we stopped at in John. We're going to look in the writings of John, 1 John and 3 John, in relation to that context of them being the beloved. Let's go to 1 John 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, First John 3, verse 2. That's right. He said, John speaking, of course, to those of the kingdom. When you look at Hebrews through Revelation, of which John is a portion, you're looking at tribulation doctrine for kingdom saints of Israel. Remember, that doctrine starts with the letter Hebrews, and of course that tells you who it's to. But let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and John is addressing the little flock, which will be tribulation doctrine after we're caught up. And he says, "Beloved, now ye are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, in this scripture, it's talking about his appearing, and they shall see him like he is. And, you know, it's a wonderful point about the context of the appearing of the Lord and the context in which John has mentioned it, mentioning that appearance. John makes that clear, and let's go to 1 John 2:28. 1 John 2, verse 28. Let me make sure I have the right. Oh, okay, here it is. And he says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." The appearance that John is looking for has to do with him at his coming. That is the appearance that John is looking to. And in that context of his coming, we can find other scriptures. But the point is the context of them being the beloved, and that context of when that appearing is, has to do with things at his coming. So we can look into the Bible and see a context of that in those scriptures to Israel. First, in the doctrine related to the prophetic things about the coming of the Lord. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Zechariah chapter 14. Okay. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and and thy spoil should be divided, shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house is rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half toward the south. And it goes on, you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So we see a context for that coming of the Lord having to do when he comes to earth and sets up his kingdom. And as you see, there's going to be a terrible thing happening to Israel in that time before his coming, before the coming of that Lord in that nation. But notice in those scriptures, it involves the nation Israel. And when those things are brought up about the coming of the Lord and what those saints in Jerusalem would be looking for, it involves that which involves him coming to earth to set up that prophesied kingdom that he prophesied. And so we can look at some more scriptures from Hebrews through Revelation in that context of future doctrine of the tribulation. Future doctrine of the tribulation to Israel in Hebrews through Revelation. Let's go to James chapter 5. Now, we saw that's the context of them being beloved, is of that prophetic circumstance of the coming, the day of the Lord that cometh. And so we saw what would be happening in relation to his appearing and his coming. It's from the prophecy of Zechariah, and there are others, but we'll just look at that for now. Let's go to James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 5, before you go there, let me make sure I have the correct scripture. And thank you, Brother Exodus, for showing that. The scriptures for us, okay? James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And James talking in that tribulation doctrine to Israel context. He says in 5, verses 7 and 8, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So that context of them being beloved that is mentioned in these scriptures in Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a portion, has to do with that perspective of what they will be looking for. And there are some other scriptures here that we can look at, Peter and John, but I think you pretty much got the context of what the coming of the Lord is and what John mentioned. See, that thing about the appearing, every time we see it, we have to understand its context. John's talking about context of his appearing in that day of his coming. And to the earth to set up the kingdom. So we must understand that and keep that in perspective to when we look at John, the scriptures of Hebrews through Revelation. And so that's the context in which they are beloved and what they're to look for. But what we are waiting for his appearing also. And our context of waiting for his appearing is different than his coming to earth to set up a kingdom prophesied to Israel. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. This is the doctrine Romans through Philemon is to us the body of Christ. The doctrine of Romans through Philemon is to us the body of Christ. And what we are looking for is his the appearing of the Lord in the air to catch us up for the catching up of the body. We are the body, saints of the body of Christ, of God's mystery, dispensation of grace, church. Now, let's look at, Philippians chapter 3. Okay, here we go. Philippians chapter 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Remember when we looked at those scriptures in Thessalonians, I love to look at these things from Thessalonians. They're great because, you know, they tell of that glorious thing that we're to look for, the appearing of the Lord we are to look for, which is different from his coming to the earth to set up a kingdom. Our looking for the appearing of the Lord is at least 7 years before that. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Words of comfort, not words of women being ravished and houses being rifled, no words like that. Words of comfort, because he descends from heaven, the highest heaven, and then we get caught up in the air to meet him in the air. That's a whole different perspective than what John is talking to the beloved of the kingdom about. A whole different perspective. We are saints of the body of Christ. And we are of that particular. It's important that we know when we look at these scriptures and look at the words like beloved, saints, and appearing, like we saw in John, it has a different context. What to us happens before the tribulation. We have words of comfort. Now, let's go to another scripture which we saw previously, but it has relevance in relation to this particular study also. In Colossians chapter 3, it says here, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It says here, Colossians chapter 3, I'll start at verse 1 and read to verse 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. From the context of glory, Paul is talking about in the air, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, caught up together. It's in the air, and we're going to glory above. That is the perspective for body saints. Our looking for the appearing of the Lord and us being of the Lord and the beloved, as Paul calls the saints, has to do with a different context that is in Hebrews through Revelation. So I hope that is clearly seen by these Pauline scriptures that we need to know that we are the saints of the mystery body of Christ, the dispensation of grace, the church, the body of Christ, given to Paul to write about in Romans through Philemon and Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a portion, John and Peter. Those scriptures, those last nine writings, are for the future tribulation context. And so that's what we look at then. When you see this context of the beloved, it means in relation to that particular perspective. Let's look at John talk more to the beloved of that particular context. 1 John 3, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Okay. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. He says here, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, there's a wealth of information in that particular doctrine. That point about whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Now, it's conditional. And that condition is in the past the comma. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you see there is conditional doctrine in that kingdom purpose of God. There is a point of them showing faith by works in relation to the doctrine and the administration of things toward them. And they would receive it because they keep his commandments. That is not body of Christ doctrine. That is not dispensation of grace doctrine. That is doctrine to the people James talks about. That's doctrine. You go over to James and you find out in relation to that doctrine, first faith and works, James 1:1 tells us it's to the 12 tribes that are scattered, which are scattered abroad. And then James goes in explaining the doctrine to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He tells them faith without works is dead. Let's look at that verse 24. Ye see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's the administration of God toward them in the kingdom. But remember, Paul was given a dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles, for us in a dispensation of his grace. What Paul was given was something that no one ever mentioned before. It was something that God had, it was hid in God. It was never mentioned until Paul was to mention it. And so what it is Paul was given to reveal that to fulfill God's word. And this dispensation of grace doctrine has to do with everything being to him that worketh not but believeth. It has a name, Romans 4:5. That is a great scripture about what God is doing presently. That's the great scripture. It's no physical condition of you keeping physical commandments on this earth to get into God's, get something from God. It's nothing. That God's given us all his grace and all his goodness freely. Look at here in Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't that different from what John talks about? Isn't that different from what James is talking about? It's completely different. And I like that old saying, things that are different are not the same. I don't know what you would call it, redundant or whatever, but it's things that are different are not the same. And so we see here, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God and full blessedness. What Ephesians talks about, what blessedness is to us in this dispensation of grace. It talks about, first Ephesians chapter 3, that we're, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is the direction of the body of Christ's inheritance. Israel will inherit the earth. The body of Christ has an inheritance in heavenly places. And that's the difference there between the two inheritances there. And so what we have here is a dispensation of the grace of God. And we're going to be the God's heavenly inheritance, but we're going to be translated into the kingdom of his dear son, which has to do with heavenly places. That's our inheritance in the heavens of creation. Right now, you ever read in Daniel? You ever read in that letter Daniel how that the angel was trying to get some information to Daniel, but he had to fight with the king of Persia, and then he said, when I leave, the king of Grecia will come. Well, he was talking about angelic authorities. Let's go over there and look at that for a moment. Let's go to Daniel. Because it's a great lesson here about some of the things that are happening in creation and things that have happened in creation in the spiritual realm. It's a great lesson here. And let's see here. Okay. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Okay, here it is. It says here in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, we'll start at verse 10, and we'll go to verse 14. Daniel is speaking in the Old Testament, of course, but it's a great lesson that can be learned from here. And behold, my hands, it says here, let's see here. Verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, this prince of the kingdom of Persia is in the spiritual realm, and so the one who came to damn Daniel is in that spiritual realm. There was a 21-day upsetting thing that you know, from the first day he was sent to Daniel, and it was 21 days before he was able to get to Daniel. It said the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. And then Michael had to come help him. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. That information wasn't directly transferred. It was a 21-day period in there that before that information came to Daniel. And then he says in verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Gracia shall come. Folks, there is, in the spiritual realm, and there is, you know, God wanted that information to get to Daniel, and there was that, and you know, and it got to him, of course, and you know, there's the perspective of the providence of God in all things related to his will, but yet and still we see that was a great, that was a 21-day battle going on, and then when that angel gave Daniel the information, he would have to go and fight again. It's this thing, this needs that spiritual realm needs to be reconciled. Now, where was he sent from? He was sent a messenger from God, sent to a man on earth, and he has this 21-day thing going on. And so there was a great, you know, there's something that needs to be reconciled there in relation to the heavenly places. And you know what, folks? That's what I believe is the glorious point about the body of Christ and the reconciling of all things in creation. The body of Christ will be put into those places. And like it says in Revelation, we can read in Revelation that those terrible authorities of Satan will be cast to earth and out of the heavenlies. And notice, they're over a territories of this earth. The prince of Grecia, the prince of Persia, and they were upsetting the flow of information to Daniel, to Daniel for 21 days. And he had to return to fight. So you see there, it's something that needs to be reconciled in relation to the will of God there. And that's the purpose of the body of Christ, the reconciling of heavenly things. Let's go to see, you can read in Revelation, of course, and you see a point in Revelation where those angelic authorities will be cast out. And it says here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and there appeared a wonder where? In heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns, and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as she was born. But we see in that those things are in heaven, and they're cast to earth. Those wicked authorities, those wicked things, and they're there in those heavenlies. And notice here in verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael, will we read verses 7 through 10? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragons fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. So it's a battle in heaven, and they're cast to earth. So there are angelic authorities that upset those things related I'll just put it in a very clear context, need to be reconciled. There are things in the heavenly places of creation that need to be reconciled. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So we see that's going to happen. They're going to be cast to the earth in that tribulation time. But we know that there is a need for things to be reconciled in the heavens of creation. And therefore, Paul was given a glorious mystery about an inheritance never before spoken of, an inheritance in heavenly places that will be part of God's total plan of reconciliation of his creation. And we can read about the reconciliation of his creation in the scriptures of Paul. He because he's given this mystery, we can know the mystery of his will revealed completely to us. And that's the marvelous thing about this dispensation of grace. It shows the fullness of God's purpose in relation to the mystery. And so we have now revealed to us, never before, but now revealed, the mystery of his will. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the body of Christ has to do with that heavenly reconciling. Israel of prophecy and of the kingdom purpose in Hebrews through Revelation, that doctrine of the kingdom purpose and those things related to the prophetic plan, they will be of the reconciling of God on earth. You'll see most of the Bible is about that. But when you come to the Pauline epistles, you got 13 epistles in there that reveal unknown mysteries about a different will of God, a dispensation of his grace for Gentiles into a body saved by the blood. That is an outstanding thing that God is doing presently for the sake of the saints in Christ. It's wonderful, this dispensation of the grace of God, where we can know this full mystery of his will and how that the very heavens above, the heavenly places in creation, will be reconciled. There'll be a reconciliation of things in the heavens above. And Paul relates that thing about the mystery of his will again when he talks about the blood of Christ in Colossians chapter 1. Let's go here, I'll start at verse 16 and read down to verse 20, Colossians 1. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be, look here, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The things in heaven have to do with our we're the body of Christ. We'll be the means of God reconciling the heavens above and the earth also, where there'll be no conflict and no upsetting factors in his creation. We're part of that whole plan of the mystery of his will, but we have a different way. We're going up above all heavens into the heavens above. We're going up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and then we will be the reconciling of creation, the things of creation above, so that there will be the government of God will be totally reconciled. I have to be careful about how I say things. I'm only a man, and I thank the Lord for his glorious word, which shows us all as men, as it is perfect, and we are not. But thank the Lord for his word. And so let's go on. So we see there, when John talks about the beloved and that circumstance of things, we saw also it says about keeping the commandments in John 3, 21 and 22. Well, that relates to the perspective of God in terms of that will of God for Israel. And remember, God gave the nation Israel his law. God gave the nation Israel his law. And so, in respect of that, in the administration of Christ's walk on earth, look at what he tells. Look at one of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ to the little flock, the believing flock of Israel in his walk on earth in Jerusalem. He tells them this in Matthew 3:23. Let's go to Matthew 23, and we will read verses 1, 2, and 3. Then spake Jesus, he spake to the multitudes and to his disciples. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So he's telling them, the scribes and Pharisees sit in whose seat? Moses' seat. And in relation to Moses' seat, they are to do whatever was required of them to observe that belonged to the fact of Moses' seat. Now, what was Moses' seat? What does that have to do? That has to do with the law. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Having to do with Moses' seat, the law of God given to Israel. That's one of the commandments of the Lord. You remember how James and Acts, he tells Paul, you see there all these Jews and how they're zealous of the law. That was a big thing with Israel and James' doctrine, because that's what the Lord commanded them in relation to that. Now, we need to know something about our perspective of God's will and word. This dispensation of grace, the very fact of it being a dispensation of the grace of God, is glorious in the Lord. Because in relation to it being a dispensation of grace, we have doctrine about the fact that we're not under grace. We're not under works, we're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We have that understanding that we are in a different will of God, not having to do with conditional commandments, but we have commandments. But our commandments have to do with the perspective of God and his word for the dispensation of grace, the doctrine of the dispensation of grace. You know, when you look at Paul and he tells us you're not under the law but under grace, when you look at Paul's scriptures and see that the things that he says in relation to him that worketh not but believeth his faith, believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Those are glorious. That's the glorious doctrine of the dispensation of grace, where we're not under the law that God gave Israel. We're delivered from that law. We're delivered from the curse of the law, Galatians chapter 3, it says here to us in this dispensation of grace. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The glorious point about us being redeemed from the curse of the law, and it's by his blood. Therefore, Romans 5, 9, therefore being justified by his blood, we have peace with, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5, 9. Therefore being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That blood is the means of us being redeemed from the deserved judgment of that the law shows toward mankind. We are redeemed from that curse of the law by the blood of our precious Savior. We're redeemed from the guilt the guilty penalty that the law shows we deserve. Christ became a curse for us. And, you know, that's glorious. The fact is that he died for our sins. That's the very gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and risen again the third day according to the scriptures, that glorious truth about the complete work of the Lord, which is to us. It is nothing but a good means for us to praise the Lord for completing the full work, for the full provision and a dispensation of grace. So folks, that's what we're here to, you know, to show. The things of the Lord that are to us involve a dispensation of his grace. Have you trusted the shed blood of Jesus? And have you trusted that he did it all for you? If you have, you have the total provision. The fact is, he died for our sins. His blood was shed, making redemption for us. He is the propitiation of God toward mankind. He is that satisfying sacrifice toward mankind. And all you have to do is trust that truth. And the moment you trust that truth for the first time, the very moment, the glorious grace of God just takes place in that gospel and saves you completely, provides a way to you get to heaven in spite of yourself by his righteousness. The word declares that in Romans chapter 3 in the glorious principles of what is to us in that through that blood of Christ. And so, and it's all over the Pauline doctrine. So when we look at these things in the perspective of them, we should understand we're in a dispensation of his grace. And for each and every word we should study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And thank you, saints, for coming in. We'll continue with the perspective of scriptures for next week. And I thank you all for coming by, but I hope you've seen that we need to rightly divide to understand when these scriptural associations are in the Bible, and we'll look at some more next week. And I'll ask now if there be any questions.